The Buckeyes are back in Indianapolis, and the Austin and Berm Show has a three-man bold predictions for the first time ever. Welcome back to The Beat is brought to you by the Waterworks. We are outside Lucas Oil Stadium tomorrow night, Saturday.
Why did we all look? Like, we didn't know
it was there. Did you know it was there? It snuck up on us. But we are here. We have arrived. And if you missed the teaser, bold predictions were not on the morning edition of Freaky Friday. That was a mailbag. But now, Ohio State, Indiana, number one versus number two. That calls for a bonus edition and a bonus with television's Adam King.
Well, you said it's brought by Waterworks. I think that's a good way to put it, because when you asked me to do this, I mean, it was just the Waterworks were flowing.
Wow. An emotional man.
It's a beautiful day.
It's great to have
underneath
you.
Underneath that caked makeup exterior, there's a lot of heart.
That's right. They both have makeup on, too. This is true. We've been here for about 20 minutes,
yeah,
and a guy came running up. I have it on video. Running up and screaming, television's Adam King, I love you. Well, I was in the middle of an interview. I love watching you on Austin and Berm. And I was like, this is great. This everywhere I go. Yesterday at Starbucks, nobody says, hey, you know, you do a really good job in the 11 o'clock news. They say, you ever seen that Austin and Berm show? You're on that.
Well,
yeah. Welcome to life, man. Welcome to the big city. Here, I was at, where was I at?
I don't know. Is this story time?
No. I was at Dick's Sporting Goods on Thursday, and someone said, hey, do you know Adam King?
Hey!
Did he say television?
No, he just said Berm. And then I was at dinner, and someone's like, hey, you guys do a great job. I'm like, that very, very rarely happens in Toledo, but everyone's so hungry for more Buckeye
That's
football.
Right. Well, good. Because there's one more. Well, actually, it's the first postseason game for Ohio State as they go on this journey. They are 4-point favorites. Adam, we start bold predictions right up front with a score prediction before we drill down.
I like that. I like that. Dive in.
That is the script of the show, which is, you know, we pride ourselves on organization.
That's right. They handed me a long show sheet. I thought it was very interesting.
Yes. And if you knew how this camera was set up right now, you wouldn't believe any part of that. So 4-point favorite Ohio State, number one versus number two. Dive right in. You lead us off with your score prediction.
My score prediction, I just want to say, just to give it some context, I was very close to my score prediction for Michigan. I was only off by a couple points. And so with that said, this is the accurate score for tomorrow's game. I think Ohio State's offense really starts to get it going. I think the game back with Carnell, game back with Jeremiah, they start clicking. Obviously, they're on a fast track. I don't want to make too much out of that, but I do think it helps, certainly. I think the Buckeyes have their gas on the pedal. Is that? Wait, no. Foot on the gas. There you go.
On the gas pedal.
There you go. And I think they score 42. Wow. And which is, I know, that's wow, because we haven't been in the 40s in a long time. And then I think this Indiana offense, I think they're good, but I think obviously they have the second best receiver duo in the country. We can talk all we want about Mendoza. I think they put up 20 points.
20 points,
okay. Which would be the most anyone's put up on Ohio State this year.
And that's a great credit to them.
That's quite a shootout on
42
Saturday
42 to 20.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. That would also be an over from Adam King.
On Monday on the live show at Roosters, I said 31-13. I've come down a little bit. I think it's 28-17 Ohio State. But I think it's going to be close into the fourth quarter. I think that I think maybe like a 21-17 game in the fourth where Ohio State finds a way to get into the end zone and stops it. So I really do think Indiana's a good football team. I've watched them over the last couple of days as everything settled down on the recruiting front, thankfully, on Friday as the Buckeyes. In case you were wondering, Chris Henry Jr. is going to sign with Ohio State, and maybe it's already happened. I don't know if it's official or not, but he went on Pat McAfee's show, and kudos to Ryan Day, huh? Wow, what a job.
Do you think he backs out of it again?
I don't.
You don't think go on Pat McAfee and then say, you know.
I think that'd be weird, but 28-17, I think this is going to be a real good game. It's number one versus number two games don't generally disappoint when it comes to the way that they turn out. So I'm expecting a really well-played football game by both sides. I do think the indoor indoor opportunity for Ohio State is something that they will take advantage of early. I think you're going to see the Buckeyes come out and try to put Indiana on their heels a little bit defensively, try to force them to change some things up. Indiana plays more zone than like anybody in the country and gets a lot of like free runners from linebackers and stuff. You're not going to be able to do that in this game because if you leave the middle of the field open, Ohio State and Julian Sain are going to torch you. So 28-17 bucks.
I am literally standing between you guys. My score prediction is also right in the middle of where you are both projecting this game. I believe Ohio State will win 34-17. I have full respect for Indiana. I was a little bit dismissive of Kurt Cignetti, and I thought last year's resume was a little bit fraudulent, even though the only teams that they lost to wound up playing for the national championship. It was a very soft schedule. In a lot of ways, this year's schedule is similar, but the eye test is passed at a different level for them. And one factor, as we're standing out here outside Lucas Oil Stadium, we're looking right at the JW Marriott downtown, and it's got a huge Indiana sign, never daunted. I wonder what the actual ticket breakdown will be through the secondary market. Indiana has been looking forward to this for a very long time, an opportunity to get to Indianapolis. And Ohio State fans will show up at any time, any moment, and go anywhere to follow this team. They haven't been in this game in a long time. It feels like, you know, multiple decades for them instead of 5 years. And the last time they couldn't even come during COVID with the Northwestern game. So I think that the atmosphere is going to be, I think it's going to be great. So if there was concern, which I don't think Ohio State's ever had that about going on the road or neutral site games, that they would be outnumbered, I think it's going to be an electric atmosphere. So I think that part will balance out. And I'm not sure what will happen to Indiana again if it gets punched in the mouth. It rallied at Penn State. I give them credit for that. The wins that they've had on the road are impressive. Oregon as well. But Ohio State is a different animal this year. And so I fully expect they will be able to pull away in the second half. And I'm really looking forward to it. But I've got 34-17. So how do we get to those points? How do we get to your score prediction? And what's your first bold P?
My bold P, and I think I told you, Caden Curry is going to have the game of his life. And I'm going to throw the other Caden. I think it's Caden squared in this game is how you get there. I think McDonald has been unbelievable in stopping the run. Indiana has struggled on the ground at times in these big games. I think the one thing that you don't want to do is try to run down the mouth of Ohio State here with Caden McDonald. And then I think you have to have Caden Curry get after the quarterback in this game. It can't be pressure constantly coming, dialed up pressure. It's just got to be, if they're going to send four, you got to get home in this game. And Matt Patricia does a really good job of sending guys from so many different ways and disguising coverages for Mendoza, even who is, you know, he's a veteran guy. He's seen a lot. I think it'll still be chaotic for him. But just the idea of the edge guys getting a home just off the bat there, sending four. Obviously, you want Arvell. Obviously, at some point, we're probably going to see Caleb blitz.
Yeah.
But I really want to see Kenyatta and mainly Caden Curry make pressure, generate their own pressure.
Okay. I think what you are alluding to, or what might be a matchup worth watching, Indiana, their passing game, which is pretty good. It is not one of those quick hitter type passing games. They like to push the ball down the field. And if that's the approach they take, that's going to give those guys an opportunity to get mm-hmm. home a little bit more than Ohio State's had in most games this year, because Indiana's not going to come into this thinking we have to do the quick screens yeah. and the bubble tunnel screens and that stuff to get going. They trust their offense. They trust Fernando Mendoza. And they're going to trust their offensive line, which has been really, really good all year, with the exception of the right side. The right tackle situation for them has been a bit of a hiccup all year. We'll see if Ohio State can exploit it.
I think we always put the terms, you already mentioned the fast track with Carnell and Jeremiah. I think that also plays into a fast track for pass rushers. So when you're talking about Caden Curry and Kenyatta Jackson being able to get after it or blitzing Arvell, like, they're going to be able to put their cleats in the ground and go at a level that you can't always get to do. And they certainly couldn't last week in the snow in the Big House. So this also favors really good athletes on defense for Ohio State. I think that's a good place to start, Adam.
100%.
You're welcome.
Hey, I really appreciate it.
Great job.
I'm going to head out.
All right. We'll see you. Careful. Sorry. Don't move too much. this game is going to determine a lot of things. Obviously, it determines the Big Ten Championship. It determines number one seed in the college football playoff. It very likely determines in the Heisman Trophy.
That was the third thing.
So that's three things on a Friday.
Whoa! Three things Friday.
Can you make it a four things Friday?
Do you remember there was a game earlier this year? It was Wisconsin.
I do remember it, yeah.
I said that it was going to be the first 400-yard passing game of Julian Sands' career.
Oh, he's still trying to go back and count it
as a
correct bold
prediction. And he ended up with 393, and then he had like a 7-yard carry, so he had 400 total
yards. That's not a 400-yard passing game.
He's not going to throw for 400 yards in this game, but he is going to throw four touchdowns in this game. So I have 28 points for Ohio State. I think they're all through the air. I think they're all on Julian Sands' back. I know Ryan Day is not going to go out there and say, I want my guy to win the Heisman, but this is that type of matchup for Ohio State. When you get head-to-head, the Buckeyes have been notorious for this in the last decade or 15 years or so. When there's like a Heisman guy on the other side, that they find a way to make sure that their guys either shine or they shut down the other guy. I don't know if you're going to shut down Mendoza entirely. I think that he will probably throw for more yards on Saturday than anybody's thrown against Ohio State all year. I think that's probably a milk.
How many bold peas is he throwing in here?
Yeah, a lukewarm prediction. But give me 275 plus and four touchdowns for Julian Sand in this game and an 80% completion day.
I would like to add an asterisk to your thing with the Mendoza. I think it's because by the end of this, Indiana might rush for the least yards per game
that they have all year.
Yeah. And so I think that they may, in the end, have to start
Yeah. Chucking.
Yeah, start chucking.
So I'm not trying to give the whole Julian Saint stat line, but it's pretty close. 275 through the air, 4 tutties, and 80%. He'll get back to the 80% mark that he has fallen short of the last 2 weeks.
It's really ridiculous that he hasn't hit
80%. It's actually kind of ridiculous.
What is wrong with this guy?
It's actually kind of ridiculous that a guy that has been completing 80% of his passes all year, when he isn't at 80%, you're like, yeah, that was a bad day. Even though he was at 76%.
78 is not good enough.
I wonder if it would help to have Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate and not be playing in a snow globe.
Some would say.
I enjoyed the snow.
Did you?
No.
Yeah,
some would say. Some would say it would.
So Byrne believes all 4 touchdowns are coming through the air. I think that the Ohio State offensive line, coming off of its best performance of the year, is going to continue to maul up front. The Indiana rush defense, the defense overall is number 2 in the country. These are the number 1 and number 2 teams in the country. They're the best defenses in the country statistically to this point. I don't think that Indiana is impenetrable. And
I like that.
I believe, so they've only given up 100 yards on the
ground. Counting syllables.
Five syllable word.
Yeah, thank you.
The second you started, I'm like,
it's 5-syllable Friday, so welcome to the beat. The opener, Old Dominion ran for 218 That's yards true. On this team, and then they didn't give up 100 yards again until they went to Penn State, and the Nittany Lions ran for 117. That's it for triple digits. Ohio State is going to set a season high for rushing yards against Indiana. They are going to run for 275 yards. This is going to be, when we talk about Jeremiah, we talk about Carnell, it is the threat of those guys that opens up a lot of other things. And maybe it's the memory that I have of Trey Sermon running wild. Berm, you and I talked about this throughout the week. Is that, will Kurt Cignetti want to be as aggressive as he's been throughout the rest of the year? Will he want to play soft and force Ohio State to march down the field? You're picking your poison either way. But if there's a world where that's what he chooses, the Ohio State offensive line is in better position, better shape, more confident than they have been all year. The schemes have come around, and then the backfield, Bo going over 150 combined yards from scrimmage last week. He's come into his own. I think you can still see more from Isaiah West and James Peoples. And even C.J. Donaldson in the second half last week was really impressive.
That was the best series of runs he's had all year.
Yeah, without question. So I don't believe that the Ohio State offensive line, which I cannot believe the way that they were snubbed by the All-Conference Awards, which inexplicably came out this week as well. But Austin Saraveld, Luke Montgomery, Carson Hinsman, Tegra Shabol, and Philip Daniels deserve more credit. They will get it on Saturday night because they're not going to allow a sack, and Ohio State is going to run for 275
they
yards.
They were healthy, and healthy makes a difference, and makes a big difference when
it
you're
It does.
Up
front. Yeah. You know who else is really helpful in the passing or in the blocking game?
I'd love to know.
The tight ends.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm not leaning on the tight ends for their blocking. I'm leaning on the tight ends in the pass game, and I have been – I want to say this. Leaning on your you had the almost 400-yard game that you're taking credit for. Sure. I'm taking credit for my – Max Clair tight end call from last week, because the tight ends were massive in that game.
Yeah,
I just use Max Clair as a sum for all the tight ends, if that makes sense.
Quite a way to win every
game.
I didn't lose the bet. I bet on everything.
Exactly. Exactly. And when I said Max Clair, I meant every tight end. And
but they were dominant in that game, not necessarily in the passing game, but they were the physical difference with what Michigan was trying to do with their perimeter guys.
They took a man. And they threw him to the ground.
They displaced him.
Yeah, that'll definitely do it in that rivalry game. I think that in this game...
Un-big-housed him.
That's a good way to put it. I think that in this game, they carry on that momentum. Michigan was really bad against the tight end statistically all season. Ohio State, I think, exploited that well. But I think that Indiana... You're right. They really rarely play man. And they're certainly not going to come out here and randomly start playing man against Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate.
Crazy if they did.
Yeah, it would be quite the choice. But with it... I think that there's going to be a lot of opportunities for those tight ends to find their soft spot in that zone, sit down in it. And the tight, am I allowed to take 2
for one?
Absolutely.
This is Freaky Friday.
I'm going to take
style.
I'm going to take tight ends and Brandon Ennis. And
well, that's not.
Hold on.
That's not even a tight end.
He's kind of.
You're not allowed to take Brandon Ennis.
Okay, Brandon Ennis, you can have him. But I think those guys
You're
are going,
saying the middle of the field, the slots. Yeah,
the seam demons.
The seam demons are going to. Are going to be massive in this game. I'll stick with the tight ends, but I do think there's going to be...
What is the prediction?
The prediction is that the tight ends get over 150 yards.
150 yards?
Yes.
Well, that's why he wanted Brandon Ennis on it, too. He's like, got to have a wide receiver.
I was going to say 100, but I don't think that's bold enough.
150? I mean, I really it's like happened one time this year where the Ohio State tight ends have had more than 100 yards, and that was 2 weeks ago with Max Clair. by himself.
When there was no Jeremiah.
When there was no Jeremiah, no Carnell.
I'm locking it in. 150 yards.
Wowzers.
You've got Julian throwing for 400. It's got to go somewhere.
No, I didn't. I said 270.
You said he's throwing for 600 yards, and it's got to go somewhere.
Wowzers.
I really like
it. Can I take 125?
Yes, you can.
We're going to allow a downgrade.
I just wanted to say that combination of Max Clair and Brandon Innes, the route that they ran for the touchdown, they also used on that.
I think that was amazing.
Like, that's a really cool play. That's really good use of those guys. That's the conflict that we've talked about all year. It's like, okay, you have to worry about these two alien superstars on the outside. Well, now look what's happening when you have Brandon Innes and Max Clair feeding off each other in the slot in demonic action in the seam.
What did you call them? Seam
demons. Sometimes we call them something else to combine it, but that was a mistake on my part, and it rattled Berm.
Nope. Yeah. Here's the deal. Here's the deal.
Oh, okay.
Jermaine Matthews should have had a pick six a week ago.
Sure should have.
Yeah.
And the ball.
Can you imagine what it would have looked like if he did that?
Helmet would have gone into the stand.
The ball. Michigan's receiver Donovan McCauley basically tried to hand him the ball, and he wasn't ready for it. I watched at my house last Friday night. You guys were there. We were watching Purdue and Indiana before Adam got there.
I was there.
We watched Fernando Mendoza try to throw like six interceptions in the first quarter against Purdue, and the Boilermakers just kept dropping it. I don't think Jermaine Matthews is going to drop it. Maybe this is a simple, bold P. It's not going to be a pick six because Ohio State's only scoring four touchdowns, and they've got them all accounted for through the air.
Okay. It's going to run out of bounds.
He is going to have
take a knee.
Two interceptions.
In this game.
Whoa.
And you want to come after me for the tight end?
A deuce.
That's a double ding-dong.
A double ding-dong for Jermaine Matthews. We haven't had a double ding-dong.
That's a double defensive ding-dong.
Double defensive ding-dong for Jermaine Matthews. Two interceptions.
I would very much like to see
including the game sealer in the fourth quarter.
Ooh, okay. But you have him winning by two scores.
Yeah, but I said it was going to be 21-17 in the fourth.
Okay, I got you. All
right.
It's very specific. That's called a drill down.
Okay, drill down. I got a kid. You guys have like a little list second.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you watched our show.
I do watch a lot of it, okay?
Adam King was a fan. Apparently not.
This is going to sound crazy, Berm.
All right.
After years and years of just hoping and praying and criticizing and scrutinizing the special teams, I stopped all year. I did not make special teams bold predictions this year.
Mm.
But the way that that group has played in the last couple of weeks, while not perfect, the progress has impressed me.
It's encouraging.
And what's something that happened last week against Michigan?
What's something that happens every time Caden Curry is on the field?
Well,
there's a chance for a block punt.
That's
got to be where you're going, right?
I believe that Ohio State is going to block a punt. I think they're also – they've saved some things.
Did they give them a credit to block punt last week? Because I saw
a hand. No, they did not.
I saw a hand on that one shank.
Yeah.
I don't think they actually got it.
The photo I have looks like the hand is being bent, but it was like in the corner.
It could be AI.
Yeah, maybe.
Probably AI.
Yeah, okay, it could be fake.
My bad.
I'm also seeing a lot more starters involved on special teams as we get late in the year. So I think, you know, again, I respect, I'm going to keep saying it, Indiana and Kurt Cignetti, the way that he's breathed life into that program is really impressive, but they're not the same, these two teams, 1 through 85. And even if they can stand toe-to-toe offensively and defensively, the one area where it can really show up, I think the margin between these teams is on special teams. So I think that there's a punt block. Also, we saw it last year with special teams making a huge difference and Caleb Downs returning a punt for a touchdown. I don't think he'll have to do that because I do believe that Caden Curry will be getting his hands on another punt. And this one will be a little bit more earned than the last one he got a few weeks ago.
Where he was punted at? Yeah,
punted at.
That's what Northwestern did to him last year in Wrigley. They did the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to punt it right at you, bud.
And it turns out he can get that. Adam. So punt block.
Question.
Yes.
You, when you asked for bold predictions, I told you them.
Uh-huh.
Am I allowed to change them?
You didn't tell me them. You told me players that I should look for photos of.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, can I change?
Sure. Do whatever.
Okay. Because he took offensive line, and nobody wants to hear me say the same thing. I think they're crucial. I think you're right.
Okay. Well, thank you.
I think if we're going bold peas,
let's go.
I think that Ohio State has 3 forced fumbles in this game.
Whew.
I don't think they get them all. But I think at least twice they get to Mendoza.
Yeah.
Off, whether it be Arvel Reason, and I see Caleb Downs in my mind. Just guys getting around the edge and surprising Mendoza. And I think, you know, sometimes you get a fumble somewhere else. But I don't think that's a crazy concept. All year long, Indiana has not dealt with anything like this on their offensive line. And you talk about a guy that's got to keep his head on a swivel. I think Ohio State's defense makes that kind of impact. Between my three forced fumbles, your two interceptions, and your punt blocks, the offense isn't going to have to do anything.
Maybe not.
That's how this season has gone, isn't it? I mean, the offense, this is the weirdest evolution of Ryan Day's teams ever. Like, it's not
team.
Like this is just a defensive team. It's like, the offense can just take some days off if they want, but they're not going to this week. And Jeremiah Smith is going to remind people that he's the best player in the country. And two of the touchdowns that Julian Saint throws to him will go to Jeremiah Smith, but they will both be over 50 yards.
Ooh.
And JJ is,
you really do have a drill down here. I mean, you've got the script.
He is... If they want to run that zone, that's fine. Again, D'Angelo Pons, the wide receiver stopper for Indiana, he was a former teammate of Jeremiah's at America. Chaminade Madonna High School.
Chaminade Madonna
in Hollywood, Florida. It's also the same school that Kenyatta Jackson played at, in case you were wondering. I believe that Jeremiah was annoyed a little bit last year at the way that certain players on Indiana's team and in their secondary celebrated things in that game. And I just feel like, I don't care if you put two back there and try to stop him, the athletes that Indiana has in their secondary outside of Pons are not going to be able to run with him down the field.
Sure.
And if Julian Sain gets time to set up one of those rollouts and throwbacks to the right, throwbacks like they did last week with Carnell, I think Jeremiah's in for a big day. I'm going to give him over 125 yards, two touchdowns, both of them over 50 yards.
Okay.
I love your it. Final bold prediction.
Go Bucks.
I
just say go Bucks?
Oh, you did. I mean, you've been pretty clear about...
Hey, baby. It's Big Ten Championship season.
We haven't been back to Lucas Oil
Hardware
for a game in years.
We're going to St. Elmo's.
We're not going to St. Elmo's.
Sorry, we're not.
You might be.
Everybody keeps telling me.
Don't just go next. If you want the shrimp cocktail, just go next door.
Okay. All right.
It's literally like every other steakhouse.
Is that your bold prediction that the shrimp cocktail is better than there?
I would much.
Not better. It's just the same.
The same.
Okay. The same shrimp cocktail. They're owned by the same people.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Why then you don't have to pay $100 for an average steak.
Oh, that's fair.
So basically, we're saying, listen, America, if you are coming over to Indianapolis for Ohio State and Indiana, go to Daredevil. Go to Sun King. Do not go to St. Elmo's, please.
Not a sponsor.
I implore you. None of them are. And support the Waterworks.
Speaking of Waterworks.
I want to sign up. I know, you just hang in. I'll say it quickly, okay? Jalen McClain is going to get the game-sealing interception for Ohio State. Oh. It is a drill down. It is a fourth-quarter interception.
Seven turnovers.
Jalen McClain never gets enough credit. He's like the one person on this defense
He had two touchdown-saving tackles on Michigan's first drive last week. Two drives, and it was like, go home.
He's mission critical, and I have a habit of, like, you know, seeing really good Ohio State players and then calling the next guy an evolutionary version. If Jalen McClain is not the evolutionary version of Lathan Ransom, I should just stop saying that about anybody. He's got the same ability to diagnose plays. He is just as physical. I think he's probably even a touch more athletic than Lathan. And he's been really fun to watch. And I think in this fast track that Adam King has previewed here on Bold Predictions, I think he's going to have another phenomenal game. Those tackles last week were critical. I think he gets a signature play with an interception that will seal what I believe is a 34-17 win for Ohio State. Yours was
42-20, and we're up to 8, actually, turnovers in this game.
Okay, great.
28-17. Also, we're not combining all the predictions.
No, all of them happen. Are you telling me that all of this isn't going to play out?
No. We have our own bold predictions.
Everyone's operating their own game script here. It's not like we're – it's not a
– No. We've got Jeremiah – we got Julian thrown for 400 yards. We got seven interceptions, a forced fumble. This thing is going to get out of hand in a hurry.
That's not how this works, Adam, but maybe you can do more bold predictions as we roll along
this
into
the
postseason. Nicest.
Thanks for having me.
In the college football playoffs.
It's really a pleasure.
Is television's Adam King. That's Berm. I am Austin. The number one versus number two clash for the Silver Football is Saturday night in this building. It's still there.
It's right there.
You guys see it? That's cool. 8 o'clock on Fox, Ohio State, Indiana. Can't wait. Thanks for joining us for this bonus version of The Beat presented by the Waterworks. We will see you tomorrow for the pregame keys. What do you have coming?
I've got a lot of stuff, but I don't know when this airs. So just 10 TV after the game. Tune in right when the clock hits zero.
All right. Pregame keys will be up on 97.1 The Fan's YouTube channel, 10 TV YouTube channel, 10 TV Plus, Apple, Spotify, Roku, and then everything else that you've come to expect after that game is over. It is tomorrow, and we'll see you at Lucas Oil Stadium.